Chapter 3. It takes about 5 hours to reach his destination, and the sun is just coming up as Arthur glimpses the little house on the horizon. He loves the drive to the Moore's house more than anything. The scenery he passes must be some of the most dramatic and beautiful in the world. It's not the lush rolling hills he likes, or the lakes and rivers, or the clusters of trees standing like proud sentinels against the sky. He likes what the Moors are famous for in literature, their wildness. There are parts of the landscape that seem untamable somehow, huge and bleak and brutally stunning. There are places he's walked here that feel like no one on earth has ever been there before. He feels more like himself on those walks than any other time in his life. He likes being at the mercy of nature, likes being a tiny part of something huge and powerful. It's intoxicating. The house stands alone against the sky, nothing around it for miles. It's the first time Arthur's ever come here without his father, and he delights in the idea that he can go on all the hikes he wants this time, that he's free to explore the environment in his own time without anyone telling him how pointless it was. He leaves Merlin locked in the van while he goes to open up the house and make sure everything's in place. First, he turns the heating and hot water on, then he heads straight for the stairs to the cellar where Merlin will be kept. It's a nondescript space. Stone floors, an old patio table with 3 rickety chairs surrounding it, a worn-down sofa behind the stairs, and a door on the back wall leading off to a small toilet and sink. The main feature in the room is the cell. Uther had bought the Yorkshire base when Arthur was 9 years old, and it had been a calculated purchase. He picked the house far enough away from other people to ensure total privacy, but close enough to a local town to buy food and supplies. The terrain leading up to the house was rough, making it difficult for many vehicles to traverse, so people mostly stayed away. Most importantly, they were surrounded by empty land on all sides, so the upstairs window provided the vantage point to spy people coming from miles around. Almost as soon as the sale was completed, Uther had the cell built. A set of sturdy steel bars blocked off half of the room, with a built-in door that bore 2 reinforced locks. The only thing inside the cell was a single bed. A pair of handcuffs hung from the metal bed frame, one end locked around the frame and the other dangling open. The cell had been put to various uses over the years, though Arthur isn't always privy to the details. Uther used to take him on holiday here when he was younger, but it was only an excuse to make Arthur practice shooting and survival skills away from the prying eyes of city dwellers. He spent a night in the cell, once when he was 12, so he could learn what it felt like. It was a lesson that stayed with him. He remembers waking up in the middle of the night, the room so pitch black he couldn't see his hand in front of his face. He'd cried, quietly and hopelessly, struck by the idea that his father might never come back, might leave him here forever. Arthur's ashamed to remember that now. 12 was far too old to act like such a baby. He shakes his head to clear the memory away and runs his eyes over the room, making sure everything's in place. It's cold in the cellar, but there are a couple of radiators lining the walls. It'll warm up soon enough. Confident that all was in place, he heads back upstairs and out to the van. He unlocks the back doors cautiously, like Merlin might have roused himself enough in the last 5 minutes to launch an attack. But Merlin's still lying where he left him, trussed up and sightless. Arthur climbs into the back and lifts him out, slinging him over his shoulders. He's not light, but he weighs less than most adult men, and Arthur barely breaks a sweat as he maneuvers him into the house and down the stairs. This, at least, he's good for. Anything requiring brute strength, he never fails at. He thinks Merlin might be moaning slightly, but it's difficult to tell behind the gag. He gets him into the cell and lays him down on the bed before pulling the material out of his mouth. Merlin lets out a tiny groan, but it doesn't seem like he's fully conscious. Arthur pulls the blindfold off and sees that Merlin's eyes are slightly open and flickering, but he clearly isn't properly aware. Arthur takes the opportunity to untie his hands and feet, then locks his right wrist to the handcuffs on the bed frame. He checks the ankle tag to make sure it's fully secure, and then he retreats from the cell. He's been up all night and he's exhausted, but he'll need to check on Merlin in a couple of hours to make sure the sedative has fully worn off. He decides to take a power nap on the couch, setting his phone alarm for 2 hours' time. He's woken by the sound of shouting.
In the forest is a monster. It has done terrible things. So in the wood, it's hiding, and this is the song it sings.